From Gloucester City Hall, I'm Rick Moore, MSO News Sports. Happy now to be talking with a couple of favorite people of mine I've known for 130 years or so. Well, I have anyway, you guys. It's Catherine Schlichty, who is the interim chief administrative officer of Gloucester, and of course, Gloucester Mayor Greg Verga. So thank you both for inviting me in today. Catherine, I want to ask you, first of all, you've worn many hats, as the saying goes, and a long experience, successful career in law and so on. But now you've been asked by the mayor to fulfill the CAO job. And first of all, what does that entail, and how, I guess more importantly, what does it feel like to be transitioning into that, having come from where you were in terms of your career? What are some of the thoughts that have gone through your head?
Well, it is a transition period. Fortunately, I had a week with Jill Cahill, sort of showed me the ropes. Mm-hmm. Great team working for Mayor Verga, so I'm going to be mostly just their contact person to help them do their jobs mm-hmm. and carry out the mayor's agenda. It's been pretty exciting, actually. I have had a lot of roles in city government, never yes. in City Hall specifically. I've been on the school committee. I've been on the community preservation committee. I've been on the zoning board. So I've been government adjacent. This is the first time I've sort of jumped in the pool to actually work for the government. So,
well, much like the Verga family, the Schlichty family has made major contributions in the city of Gloucester. So it's not like you're a stranger, either one of you, to anybody. In terms of handling everyday procedures, you tell me what it is. Is it mostly clerical stuff, or is it interpreting things? What is it?
I think the biggest role is communication, keeping in touch with all the various department heads mm-hmm. and making sure that, you know, they have everything they need to do their jobs, so that they're working on the agenda that's laid out by the mayor. We meet weekly with the department heads, biweekly with all the managers, just to keep sort of the flow of information going amongst everybody. So I'd say the biggest role is sort of communication and coordinating actions between the departments and various city employees.
What's the relationship between your job and maybe what comes down from the state in terms of your everyday business, talking with other department heads and so on? Do you get information from the state, or does that go through the mayor first and then down to you?
Typically, I rely a lot on the mayor to sort of guide me in. There's a lot of areas I'm still learning about and whatnot, but we have a legal department. We have a constituent servants person. The mayor himself is really kind of the lead, I would say. You're the lead person in meeting with state people mm-hmm. and trying to coordinate city actions with state government actions. So I'm more secondary receiver of that information, okay. So and then try to carry it out.
Well, congratulations. I'm happy to see you here in the mayor's office. Okay, let's turn it over to Mr. Verga. Mayor Verga, a lot going on, of course. But before we get started, I just want to ask you about that relationship with the state, because one of the things that convinced me to vote for 3A after initially voting against it was the fact that the Trump administration can pull the plug on anything at any time. And it seemed, knowing that the state could do the same thing, it seemed just almost inevitable to just say, okay, go with it, why make more paperwork? So let's start there. Mm-hmm. Maybe your reaction.
All right. Yeah, well, 3A specific. I mean, that's the one thing that I think finally toward the end, even those who were opposed to 3A recognized that the no vote didn't end it. Because in the end they were saying, let's start over and do something that's, you know, fairer around the city. So we're all on the same page that we have to do it. So the state can tell us what to do as far as zoning goes. But as far as the federal government, it's, we're going to talk about the budget in a minute, but as I've been saying to the school committee all along, this is what I'm planning on giving the schools this year, but this is based on today's information, because we're one executive order away from chaos. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. So we have very good relationships with Senator Tarr and Rep. Ferrante. You know, I've worked with the lieutenant governor when she was the mayor of Salem, so we have a great relationship there, as well as the AG and the governor, of course. Our federal delegation, though they've lost a lot of clout with the changeover in the administration and the majority now going to the other side, but we have a really good relationship within the city with Seth Moulton, Senator Warren, and Senator Markey. So we are really biting our nails here to see what the next move is. But those relationships, I think, are going to be very helpful to us as we move forward. It's the 3A concern was the loss of grants. And we know we may be losing grants from the federal government. If we were also looking at grants lost at the state level, we might as well just put up the for sale sign, because we just couldn't do business without it.
All right, thank you. Let's get to the hard business first. Let's talk about the budget, because it's a year-round process, but you're coming down to the wire here.
Right. And you're exactly right. So we pass the budget on July 1st, and then we immediately start working on the next budget. And that's what we've been doing for the last 11 months. So tonight, I'm presenting to the City Council the budget. At the school committee meeting last Wednesday, we voted to voted on a budget number, which I'll go over in a second, and we voted to put it to public hearing. So on what month are we in? This is May? Right. May 14th will be the public hearing for the school budget. People check out the school website to get the Zoom link, or come in person and let us know what your thoughts are on that. But tonight I present, this is the budget. People can't see that because it's audio only, but I'm pointing to a document. This is the budget that we'll be submitting tonight. As soon as it's presented, it'll be made active on the city's website, so people can feel free to download it and peruse it. This is a much more detailed budget than we've had in the past. We have our new CFO, Connor McCorkle, did a great job. There's a lot more information here, a lot more background, a lot more detail on what each department does. We weren't able to provide everything the department has wanted, so there's actually a little bit about what they would be looking for if more money came down the pike. But we're looking at a $147.4 million budget, and it's about a $950,000 increase, $950,000 of new growth. On the school side, we're looking at a 5.32% increase over the school's budget last year for an additional $2.7 million, roughly, for a $54-plus million school budget. The city side, we asked the managers to come in at a level-funded budget. So, and keep in mind, a level-funded budget means it's basically cut, because costs go up through cost of health insurance, the cost of contractual obligations, other fixed costs like insurances, liability insurance, health insurance, et cetera, et cetera. So most of the city budgets were at a zero, some a little bit less, some a little bit more. When you have a department of 2 to 3 people, it's hard to cut anything to substantially save, because if you look at the pie chart of any municipal budget, it's well over, I'd say 65, 70% is salaries and benefits. So this budget, I'm very proud of what we're able to do. When I was talking earlier, I guess later in the year, during the issues with the educators, we were looking at a $3 to $7 million hole in the budget. But through Connor's hard work, we've been able to whittle that down, and through the 0% on the city side, we've got a nice balanced budget as of today that we hope will make its way through. The concern I have is our budget has to be passed July 1. The state budget is supposed to be passed July 1, but they can vote to extend it. The federal government's not till October. So who knows what kind of surprises we'll see between July 1 and October 1. But, you know, based on today's information, I'm feeling pretty good about where we are and how we're able to provide the core services that the city needs and start building towards the future.
Just want to make sure this is recording okay. Hold on 1 second. Hello? Yeah, it's good. All right. In terms of city revenue, what's the comparison or contrast versus last year to this year?
It's been pretty steady. I mean, the thing to keep in mind is as far as new growth is new development, you know, and we don't have, like, say, Danvers, you know, where Jill's going, or Peabody, where they have these huge swaths of commercial, you know, whether it's malls or other other businesses. We have a very small percentage. I don't know the exact number, but it's really low, like less than 20% of our tax base is commercial. That's why, they and those other communities are able to have a higher tax rate for the businesses, because there are so many, it's not felt as hard. Here, if we, you know, get to, we can't say you're going to pay a much higher percentage, because it'll be felt by the mom and pops we have all over town. For every
Applied Materials. There's probably 20 mom and pops around town. So the revenues, you know, that's a big thing is new development, but planned development, tasteful development. That's what I'm looking at. But at the end of the line, it's difficult to get big companies to come down here. But we're hoping that we can build on the biotech field that's been happening over the last 10 years or so with GMGI. And we're always looking for new businesses. If you're out there, give us a call. We're here to talk.
1-800.
1-800, you know, Gloucester, Maris.
There you go.
All right. Okay, let's talk about some good stuff now. It almost feels like spring. We're not quite there yet. But I did notice when I came into City Hall, there's signs all over City Hall saying beach parking stickers are upstairs.
Yes. Yeah, so that is exciting. So the beach stickers have been available to purchase online for the last week or so. Today's the first day we have human beings upstairs that you can come in and buy you a sticker. It's really a birthright here in Gloucester to have a beach sticker. And we hope people will come down and get them. It's not a beach day today, so you're probably not thinking about it, but it's also a perfect time to come in because the lines are small today. But, you know, beach revenue is a big part of our budget. And so we're happy that we have, a lot of people purchase the beach stickers. And we also have a lot of visitors who purchase beach passes that keep us going. And the stickers are basically just a prop these days. You don't even need them because the license plate is what's actually entered and is in our system. So when you go to the beach, no one's actually looking at the sticker. They're looking at making sure your license plate beams back to our system as paid. But I think if we did away with stickers, it would be a tragedy for some people because they have the collection on their windshields.
Okay. Speaking of beaming, I got to ask you about the kiosks because personally, they're beating me to death. They're winning. I'm losing at the parking kiosk. But also on the flip side of that, you mentioned the city parking. And I know that for out-of-towners, the fee has gone up a little bit. But that's been very successful in cutting down, especially weekend traffic for locals.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's take this one at a time. So as far as the kiosks go, and we talked about this at least 10 times since I've been mayor. So when I came into office, the kiosks were here. They weren't activated. I think they might have been just activated just before I took office, but there were a lot of deficiencies that became pretty apparent. So we put the pause on, and we stopped charging for the meters, the kiosks, because it just the inconsistency of it just made it too difficult for people coming in to complain about tickets they shouldn't have received. But we spent the next almost 2 years, Jill, former CAO, and other department heads, you know, IT, the DPW, et cetera, were meeting weekly on Zoom meetings, stand-up meetings to discuss where we were. And we worked closely with we had to set up a payment system that hadn't been put in place. The software was kind of mixed up. We had some issues with some of the machines that weren't taking cash. So we do have a staffer on DPW whose job is to maintain the physical components. Tomorrow, we're meeting with this company called Park Mobile, who purchased Flowbird, which is the app that's in the system. And we will be having a very, let's just say, direct conversation with that person about where we are and what they can do to help make it a little bit better. I know some people have a lot of trouble with the app.
It's old folk, yeah.
As you pointed out when you came in, it's kiosks 5, Rick Moore 0, right?
That's correct.
So we're going to see what we can do about that. So stay tuned. After we have our meeting, we'll talk more about that. So it's kiosks. What was the other topic?
Beach parking.
And the beach parking. The rates, the city council put forward a proposal to raise it by $5 per visit, and in the end, they voted for a $10 increase. I don't think it's going to deter people. It might deter some people, but there are other people who will happily pay. So I don't think we're going to see a decrease in the revenues. But there is a big cost associated with maintaining the beaches and having the lifeguards there and the beach parking attendants there. And it's fair that if you're going to come visit our beaches, you know, we don't keep people off the beach. And people say, well, you don't own the beach. Technically, we do. And we don't deny anybody access to the beach. But we do own and maintain the parking lots. And that's what this funding helps cover. We have a lot of, though we rake in, I don't know, a million plus on the revenues, it doesn't cover the total cost. You know, so we are still subsidizing to some degree.
But it's a great resource for our locals. It's a great magnet for visitors, you know. And when they come to town, they're buying stuff at convenience stores, going to restaurants, and spending money. So I looking out the window today, I'm hoping this is not what the next several weeks look like. Fingers crossed. But I think we're going to have a good summer.
All right. I want to go back to Ms. Schlichte for a moment here, because I want a thought that I came up with was in your short term as interim CAO right now. Maybe
in my first week, Rick.
Oh, this is the first week.
Yes.
I thought. Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. I was going to ask you, what's your biggest challenge? Probably getting up in the morning.
getting my Google Drive to work. No.
Okay. All right. What about the technology? Was that did you just slide right into that?
Well, actually, I came from a Microsoft Office, and this is a Google Suite here. So I had to watch a few YouTube videos, but I'm loving it. It's really a system that works well. You can share documents. You can talk to people across the system. And, I'm actually liking the technology here.
Okay. And if this is your second day on the job, you've done marvelously well.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, let's talk about some other summer stuff, and then we can wrap this thing up with anything else you both want to mention.
Sure. So, you know, there's going to be a lot going on this summer. The DPW will be out, has been out. I should mention a couple of upgrades they did to playgrounds, one at Cripple Cove, one on Apple Street. We have new playground equipment in there. Green Street Park, we should be hopefully having a kickoff with this first game for the softball league. Still waiting for a date on that. The demo at the East Gloucester School is closing in on completion. We're looking to get some CPA funding, community preservation funds, to complete the project. You recall in an early conversation I said we ran out of money. The money that was borrowed to do it was pre-COVID, pre-inflation, and so that $4.2 or $4.3 million was gone before we finished Green Street Park. So we, through borrowing long-term through the Community Preservation Fund, like we did for City Hall, well, I guess 20 years ago or so, yeah. We'll be able to pay for it over time and get the project completed. So we're still awaiting that. But it's going to be a lot going on. Obviously, the Fiesta is going to be an important event. And the new one, well, it'll be new, but just for this one year, is Rev 250. We are the stand-in for the Battle of Bunker Hill down at Stage 4 Park on the June 21st and 22nd. I'm pretty sure of the dates.
Yep, weekend before Fiesta.
So check that out. It's going to be the whole park is going to look like an encampment, two encampments, one for the colonists and one for the British, and you know, replicated battles. They're going to have a component where they come in by sea. We're expecting a lot of people, so you know, enjoy the summer. Don't miss out on the events, as we, I don't know if we mentioned before we started rolling, but it looks like the fireworks are go for the July 3rd and for Labor Day, and then obviously leading into Labor Day is going to be the Schooner Fest, which is a great way to wrap up the summer. But, you know, Discover Gloucester and the Chamber are working hard to extend the visitor season. So hopefully we'll have people visiting right through to Christmas and then start up again in January.
Okay. All right. We're back to our CAO, Catherine Schlichte. And, you know, I was going to say I'll come back in 6 weeks for your report card, but I'm not going to say that. So anyway, I mean, what's your expectation and what is your expected tenure? How long is it supposed to be?
Well, I'm here for Greg as long as he needs me, and as I said, it's interim. I had just gone into retirement, Rick.
I
failed at retirement. I'm back here at City Hall. I'm expecting a lot of good things to get done. There's a big body of work that the mayor has got his department heads working on. It's amazing to me how hard these people work and how much is being done by the city that we don't know.
Right.
You know, I think the budget, if you really get into the details of the budget, that budget really tells the story of all the work that is being done. So I'm actually looking forward to getting a lot of good stuff done. You know, I think things are moving in really a positive direction. I think the departments are really stabilized and people know their job and they're going out and doing it. And I think we're pretty fortunate.
Excellent.
So,
All right. And finally, Mr. Verger, I know that each day you probably have an agenda set out by either Pam or Melissa or whoever.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden fires break out everywhere. So in terms of that, how does that coordinate with between you and the CAO, let's say historically?
Well, it's fine. Sometimes fires break out literally. You know,
sure. I fired City Hall.
Yeah. But yeah, so we actually meet every Monday. We just met yesterday as a team, you know, Melissa, Pam, and now Catherine and myself, and we go over my schedule for the next 2 weeks. And even though we go over for 2 weeks, the next Monday we're going over that second week we looked at the week before, and that may be changed from the week before. But it's all volatile. It's based on whatever's going on, whatever the crisis du jour is. So far, in the last few weeks, other than the switch over from the CAO, we haven't really had a lot of crises.
Oh, you shouldn't have said that.
I shouldn't have said that, yeah. I mean, well, you know, it's important to recognize we do have the issue with the middle school activities happening outside of middle school and at middle school with some of our students. And we had a big meeting about that with parents and the community at large a few weeks ago, and last night there was a follow-up with parents. So the school department is on it. The police department is on it. So so I don't want to downplay that there's nothing going on. That there are serious things. But we're ready to pivot as needed. But even though I may have to pivot or certain people may have to pivot, there's still the boat is still moving forward. Somebody might be getting off and taking a dory to a different direction. But, you know, let's use Gloucester, language here. So the boat is still moving where it needs to go. And then we just jump off in rafts to do the things we have to do.
And that figurative boat is probably being driven by another Schlichty, a former fire deputy chief. Thank you both so much. Gloucester's interim CAO, let me get this right now, Chief Administrative Officer Catherine Schlichty, and, of course, to Mayor Verger. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.